Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Well, I did ask Lori's permission to have her be a subject of my lecture. Lori's a fairly humble person, and it's a difficult thing to have someone point out things about you publicly. So I didn't want to surprise her or embarrass her. And I think I said, I'm going to ask you a question. You said, oh, yes. And I said, wait a minute, you should hear what I'm going to ask first. And then she looked a little scared, and then I told her what I wanted to do, and she still said yes. So thank you. And I think it's important to note a couple of things before I share some things about Lori, is that while I am going to speak about her as a particular person, my intention is not to imply that she's some special person and she's up here on this pedestal of having done these things and you're supposed to compare yourself to her and all that. Because actually, I think one of the beautiful examples of Lori's practice is that she's very ordinary. And she's had a very ordinary practice. And I think that is the heartbeat of this temple, is all of us, all of you, and our ordinary practice. The things we do that people know that we do, and I'll name some of those things, and the things we do that people don't necessarily know that you do, and I'll name some of those things. But again, my intention is twofold. On the one hand, I really want to fully honor Lori before she gets in her car and drives to her new home in Albuquerque with her brand new husband, who I just married them on Sunday. And what an amazing story that is, to find someone in your early 70s and be willing to totally change your life and sell your home and pack up all your things and move to a new home in a new land. So she and Bob are going on a big adventure. So some of the things that you may know, if you've been around here, that Lori has done, as Patrick said, for 10 years, she's been showing up Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night to be Doan and to help run the Wednesday night program as our Wednesday night Eno, the person who comes early, who sets up the table, who makes sure that the tea is ready, who greets new people as they come down the path like, uh-oh, what is this place? What am I supposed to do? And she would welcome them and tell them what to do and clean up afterwards too and all of, you know, make the announcements. But it's that dedicated regularity that is one of the things, is why I feel like this kind of ordinary practice is the heartbeat of our temple. Because the truth is that people do come and go. All, you know, teachers come and go. Sangha members come and go. Some people leave because they want to go somewhere else, or they kind of are not into practice. Some people move. Some people die. We've had Sangha members who've passed away. Who knows? So there's this coming and going that is a part of practicing in a place like this. And we get our attachments, and we get our hearts attached, and then people leave. I remember when I went about the third time in my, I don't know, 30 years here, that, you know, you fall in love. I mean, I fall in love with you all. I really do. I truly fall in love. And so when, you know, one of your beloveds leaves, it's really hard. And I remember at one point I realized, oh, to be a temple priest is to have your heart broken over and over and over again. You know, and people have their reasons for leaving, and you smile and you accept them, and then you think, okay, well, I'm here. So it's a beautiful thing when we have this, you know, it changes, but there's this kind of feeling of a core group of people who make this place happen. And that's been one of the huge aspects, I think, of your practice, Lori, is you've just been like a pillar, a foundation of stability and continuity here. And your shoes are going to be very hard to fill. So thank you for that. And then she also, how long were you on the board? 2 terms?
4 years.
For 4 years. She was on the board. Now that is advanced practice. If you've been on the board, you know what I mean. And if you haven't been on a board, you can only imagine what it's like to try to make decisions together about money and staffing and protocols and, I mean, all the things that, you know, the daily, mundane, daily brass tacks aspects of what it takes to keep this place running. And so Lori showed up for that, too, for 4 years. And then another thing that maybe most of you don't know, but something I'm personally very grateful for is, I don't know when we started it. I think it was right when you first started coming, about 10 years ago. I made a promise to the community that I was able to fulfill for some years of showing up every Sunday night in the community room and hosting a discussion group. And anybody could come, and people came, and we'd sit and we would talk about our practice in daily life. And Lori was one of the people who just came every Sunday. And then there were 2 people who came every Sunday. And then there were 3. And then there were 4. And then there were 5. And then there were 6. And then there were 7. So again, it's this showing up in your body, in your heart, and offering your practice to, you know, to the community. And, you know, that group continued for some time. Some of the members are even have moved to Santa Fe. Some are deceased. Some have moved on to other activities. So, you know, that just showing up and getting the job done, this stable heartbeat practice is really what weaves the threads of the part of our practice that is the abiding. And what we know if we read our Zen and Buddhist material, and particularly I've been thinking about this with regard to the mountains and the waters, because I'm planning this summer to do what I did last year, which is in July, to offer various opportunities to practice meditation and study Dogen's work in nature. And so I'm going to be posting different ways we can do that. Some of them will be hikes. Some of them will be walks that are accessible, that won't involve hiking, but will be on pavement. So people of different abilities can feel free to join us for different activities. And I have a couple of friends helping with some of the events. So one of the teachings from the Dogen's Mountains and Waters, and one of the great teachings in Zen and Buddhism, is how, you know, this aspect that there's these 2 aspects in life. And there's the, in Mountains and Waters, he says, you know, the mountains are constantly at rest and constantly walking. So, you know, when it comes to a mountain, the actual mountain, we would think of that like, it may look like the mountain is always at rest. You know, we look up at Loma Prieta, say, and oh, there it is, still there, hasn't changed. However, if you go up into Loma Prieta Mountain, you'll see it's constant change. The water is flowing, the erosion is happening, the squirrels are moving the nuts around, rocks are falling. It's always changing. And this is how our lives are, is that at the same time, there is a way that there is this abiding quality, the unchanging. And at the very same time, there's also this changing quality. In Dogen's work, he calls it Joan Ju, always abiding, and Jo Un Po, constantly walking. So this is the same thing that I'm talking about here. There's those of us who are abiding here, and then there's the change. And, you know, what abides here? the temple abides. The fact that there's always people here. You know, I mean, there's different people. Some are the same, few are the same. Right? And if you stick around long enough, you know, you'll be one of those old timers. And then maybe some completely new people, or people who just started practicing here. So there's something here that abides even as the particular form shifts and flows and changes. This is the original teaching of the Buddha when he was on his deathbed and his students were around him wailing and moaning, "Oh, don't leave us, don't leave us. What are we going to do without you? You know, oh, great teacher." And he said, "Haven't you been listening to my teaching?" It's like, I'm going, but my teaching will live through you. My Dharma is going to live through you. And if you miss me, just practice what I taught. And that is what has allowed Buddha to continue, is all of those of us over the centuries who have taken on this commitment to maintain the practice. So that's the part where we can all contribute. Even in our changing nature, we can also all contribute to this quality of abiding that I think for a lot of us is it's a very beautiful thing in this troubled and chaotic world. You know, a lot of people say, occasionally we'll have a conversation here, "Why do you come?" And many people will say, "Oh, because it's just such a refuge. It's so nice to have a place where I can just sit and be and just breathe some spaciousness." This is what we all create here together, this abiding. And things change. We have to say goodbye to our beloveds as they go off in their new adventure. Now, of course I don't have a watch, but I don't think I'm going to talk super long, so I will take it just in case. But my intention is to share some and then to open up space for others to express any words that you might have. And then we have a cake, I believe. So we want to make sure we have enough time to eat cake. But I'd like to share a couple of things that you probably don't know about Lori, because I knew it because she's been my Dharma friend. And I'd like to bring this part of her practice forward because it's a part that I really treasure. And I really, really recommend the practice of having Dharma friends. If you don't have a person here at this place, you know, I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but if there's somebody that you feel some affinity for, or it could be somebody that you really have aversion for, it could be either way, but the practice of getting together and talking about the Dharma is a fantastic way to bring practice into our lives and to deepen our practice and to encourage each other. It's rare to be able to talk about the Dharma. I mean, you go out into CVS and you're picking up your prescription, you know, no offense, but you're probably really not going to be able to talk about the Dharma with a lot of the people there. I mean, you can enact it, right? And then they'll wonder, "Oh, how come that? I want to be around that person. That person has been kind to me." But in terms of actually being able to say, "Well, what do you think about that? What does that mean? Or how are you practicing with that?" That is such a beautiful thing to do. So I really, really, really recommend that. And that's probably one of the biggest things I'm going to miss. You know, we'd come Tuesday, I'd come be Doshi and she'd be Doan, and then we'd go downtown and go to Chocolat and have dinner or tea. And yeah, we talked about our lives, but we talked about the Dharma. And then she sent me emails. Well, until Bob came along. BB and AB, right? Before Bob, I used to get, every morning, I'd get some Dharmic message from Lori. Either she was out there surfing the internet and getting some amazing, provocative, you know, something for me to think about, or she would send something like what I would like to read to you. And I think Bob's great and everything, but I must say that habit totally dropped off. AB. So, but that's okay. And you know, I think you sent this to me in about, 2014. This is my Dharma, one of my Dharma study books, number 5 of I don't know how many. And, you know, I put stuff in here that I'm studying and notes and things like that. So I put it in my Dharma study book. So this was one of the emails that I got. Oh, and something to know about Lori is that she is a ocean kayak person. Can't imagine doing that out there, but she has been a river kayak and an ocean kayak person. Not going to be doing that in Albuquerque, but, you know, that's one of the changes, right? So she sent me this email. On Sunday morning, the shining paddle Bodhisattva set off on a sunny, windy day to explore the mysteries of the Dharma ocean. Observing and experiencing the endless wave forms of our mother ocean manifesting in Monterey Bay, the student Bodhisattva realized again the truth of Gaia, that it was just as the teacher had said, forms arising, falling, forms appearing, now disappearing into the boundless ocean. The causes and conditions of these appearing and disappearing forms, arising hundreds and thousands of miles away, invite us to recognize and engage them when we can, and accept them without judgment or remorse when we can't. Surf this wave, fall off that wave, get rolled over by that big one you didn't see coming, now this, now this, now that. Happy, grateful, amazed at this life. That's the Dharma. And you know, my particular flavor of Dharma is increasingly this focus on the natural world, because I just feel like it is such a profound support for us. Just this kind of way that, you know, this issue that we have in our life, it's really hard when we get rolled over by the waves and when we get thrown, you know, and what are we supposed to do with all this turbulence? And so it's so beautiful that there's this actual place, an actual, you know, energetic reality outside of the little box of our brains, and I would say even outside of the beautiful refuge of the physical Zendo, that we can go out and we can have this teaching that the ocean is offering every single day about going with the flow. Now this, now that, happy, grateful, amazed at this life. That teaching is right out there at the ocean. And there's the teachings of the mountains, the teachings of the waters, the teachings of the little flowers that push up from the concrete. Dharma friend, Rachel, we were going back and forth about the website, and she just remembered in one of my talks, I had talked about how much I love when flowers pop out of the concrete, and she sent me a picture of the flowers popping out of the concrete. See, so this is this conversation that we can have with each other as Dharma friends, and bringing in the big Dharma friends, you know, the big Buddha Dharma, the great Buddha of the mountains and the waters. So I've just, you know, that's just, you know, I'm speechless just thinking about it. There's two more things I want to say before I open it up. One is the other thing you don't know about me or Lori. Well, maybe some of you know it. Patrick probably does. I've been working on this book for like 20 years. and when it comes out, it will not be a surprise, because a lot of the material has been exactly the subjects of my Dharma talks for the last 5 years. That's what I've been talking about. It's not like the book is a thing. It's what I'm interested in and teaching and studying, and then it would turn into writing. And so it finally has found its way into a book that I'm working on the proposal, and I'm going to send it to an editor, and we'll see if they want it. I don't know what I'll do if they don't. But we don't know that yet. But this woman read every page of the book. She commented on it. She gave me feedback. She told me what worked and what didn't work. She told me what was confusing and what was good. And, you know, I just thank you so much for that labor of love. And here's the last thing that I wanna say, and it's a song, and I'm gonna sing it because we wrote it together, and we performed it in this very venue. I don't know if it's called the School Street Sashin Blues, and we performed it in striped pajamas. And you'll understand the metaphor of the striped pajamas when you hear the song, and especially if you know Johnny Cash's classic, the Folsom Prison Blues. Now, is there anybody here who does not know what Sashin is? And it's okay if you don't. If I use that term, everybody knows what it means. And if you have, I don't know how many of you have sat Sashin, but it's about Sashin. And I want to just say, I mean no disrespect here. We mean no disrespect, but it's fun sometimes to make fun of ourselves. And Sashin is hard. And Sashin is especially hard for Lori because she has physical issues that it's really, 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 really hard and really painful for her to sit very long. But over the years, we worked out ways for her to sit. We adapt things. And so she did sit some Sashin. And we wrote this song. And I'm just going to boldly sing it to you a cappella. I think it's pretty good. I had forgotten all about it. But I wanted to just try to find these different ways that maybe the things you didn't necessarily know about Lori. Okay. I'm a little embarrassed. I hear the horn is sounding. Sashin is round the bend. I won't see no sunshine until I don't know when. I'll be stuck inside this zendo. Too late to turn back now. I wouldn't want those Enos to have a cow. I know my body brought me here, and now it's asking why. I'm trying not to wiggle, and I'm trying not to cry. I know that Dogen tells me, just drop off body and mind. Well, thanks a lot for nothing, if nothing I could find. I'm counting down the minutes. It's worse than counting sheep. I do believe that Doan has fallen fast asleep. And so has my poor ankle. My foot is numb like stone. Oh, mommy, 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 please come and take me home. And then there's Orioke. It takes a lot of guts. When that water's bucket's coming and you still have lots of nuts, and then your setsu goes a-flying into the server's pot. And don't even get me started about trying to tie that knot. And you might well be asking, what am I doing here? Why did I sign up instead of going out for beer? Feel like I'm going crazy. My mind is losing its grip. But wait, that's the point, right? Oh, what a long, strange trip. Maybe it's hallelujah, maybe I'm nirvana bound. My hammer's striking emptiness, not making any sound. I'm leaping past the boundary of awakening. Or at least I kinda hope so. That's got a pretty good ring. So I guess I'll stay here after all and see what happens next. It's okay to be confused and it's okay to be perplexed. Just surrender to not knowing. That's all I got to say. Like a fool, like an idiot. I'm trusting Buddha's way, like a fool, like an idiot. I'm trusting Buddha's way. We did. We totally collaborated on it. Yep. It does. So we definitely have some time, and I would just like to open up the floor if there's any people here who would like to express any of your just well wishes or any memories or anything that you'd like to say to Lori. I mean, it's still a couple of weeks till they leave, but it's coming.
10 days.
10 days. Yeah. So anyhow, thank you for being here, and I feel much better now. This was what I wanted to say, and I couldn't fit it into that little tiny amount of time. So, true treasure, and I know we'll meet again. I'll go visit you. You come visit here. Yeah.
I don't have normal hearing, so it's really helpful to me if you speak a little bit more loudly than you're used to.
So how? Okay. Yeah, shout! Yes.
You and I put together First Fridays for a couple summers, and although you're leaving, I still have that sculpture of yours, very Zen Asian looking in the front yard. Someone stole one of the sculptures from the front yard a few weeks ago, but it wasn't yours.
Yeah, we hosted it here with their labor here in the garden. So we had Sangha artists showing their work and a few invited other friends. And it was part of the First Friday, program. Yeah. We do love him. We do. Sort of.
Good thing he's not here.
And
Yeah.
Well, there's no way I can possibly express everything I'm feeling right now, so I'm not going to try. But I do want to say that the first day, the first evening, the first Wednesday that I arrived here 10 years ago, I was wearing a kind of Japanese padded kimono coat, which I was very fond of, still am. And I walked down the walkway, and Patrick was standing there, and he goes, "What a lovely coat!" And I thought, wow, this is not the typical sensor. The thing that I'm wearing is actually being commented on. Okay, that's a good sign. So that was my first welcome. I felt completely received and put at ease. It was just a turning moment for me that kept me coming back. And it was one of my aspirations for being the Wednesday night Eno, that I might be able to offer that acceptance and welcome to anybody who walked down that walkway, because it takes a lot of courage to walk down that walkway. You know, you don't know what you're really getting into. But you know it's going to be big. So just to be able to offer that to anybody who walked down the walkway and to have them feel as welcome and special as I felt in that very moment was something that I aspired to do, and I hope I did well. Gratitude, compassion, ease of being seen and received. So many emotions are stirring in me right now. I'm just wanting to say thank you so much to everybody.
Can I say just a little
something? Of course, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't spent a lot of kind of close time with you, but the one thing I've always appreciated about Lori, about you, is that you're very real with what you're feeling. You don't kind of hide, even if it's kind of you're grumpy or something's bugging you or whatever, and you're very just authentic and just saying kind of what you feel about it. It's just a very authentic, and I appreciate that, you know, and people don't try to pretend that they're not feeling what they feel. Mm-hmm. And it gives other people permission to do that. Mm-hmm. And yet I would always see you, even if I could tell you were kind of working through something that was irritating you, you'd always come out the other end of it. Like it's sort of like you could see the little gears turning. And then sort of by the time it's sort of intersecting with you, even just a few minutes later, you could tell you'd already kind of like put it through the lens of practice and just kind of like, oh, okay. So I appreciate that. I think it's Lori's method of teaching, the McCam way.
Thank you, Yara.
You're welcome.
Well, there was a second paragraph, and this is also a part of your dharma, is your willingness to be with the suffering of the world. And I think as the assembly here is expressing, your willingness to share your authentic experience as a human, an emotional human, open, not turning away, and open to the challenges of the world, and doing what you can to try to be helpful. So the second paragraph you wrote, because this, we had been talking at this time in our sesshin about the story or the line from Being Time, when Dogen talks about, you know, walking on the bottom of the ocean. And many of us have used that as a metaphor when we're in turbulent times. You know, you might go to your teacher and say, what am I supposed to do with all this, all these currents? And your teacher might remind you, can you feel your feet walking on the bottom of the ocean? As a kind of a, you know, metaphor for abiding security. But you pointed out, you said, in continuing to ponder the ocean metaphor theme of Sesshin, I wonder about the floor of that ocean. It really isn't smooth at all. It is riven with mile-deep canyons, shifting and uplifting tectonic plates, and occasionally creates chaos on a scale we can barely comprehend or deal with. Earthquakes, tsunamis, uplifting mountain ranges, splitting continents. The suffering caused by these forces far exceeds the day-to-day karma of our wind-driven waves, and certainly exceeds my capacity to understand or know how to be with it. So I guess in closing, I would just say one of the things I would wish for you is now that you have thankfully gotten to shed some of these stressors that you had, which were major and chronic and constant, that I hope you can turn your attention back to this part of you who's really tapped into the suffering of the world and the natural world and really looking at for resources. And I hope you keep sending me emails, morning missives, about what you find about people who are putting their lives forth in various ways to try to help, you know, with the suffering that is going on. So I hope you continue with that. Okay, then, we're going to go and eat cake. I think it's cake. Isn't it cake? Is it cake? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's a mystery.
It's cake. Cake and tea. So we have some time. It's 7:25. So thank you all so much. I'm glad you were here. And on we go.
Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's ways unsurpassable.